Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's program is part of the new They Found the Answer series, sponsored by Quilopo Painting Incorporated, presented by The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. Blaine Geisen is our featured guest today in this previously recorded special. As you listen, you may sense a special awareness of your need for God. If you'd like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. If you're listening to the show online, click on to the Get to Know Jesus link. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this moment with Blaine Geisen. When you experience success, how should you handle it? Some people have a way of botching it. They reach a pinnacle in life and somehow seem to sabotage themselves, plummeting to the depths that almost completely eclipse their former glory. Others, on the other hand, seem to ascend continuously to greater heights. You can see the hand of God's grace and favor upon them. Their influence grows. Their character remains intact. It comes down to numerous things that make the difference. Our guest today is one of those people whom God has elevated. His impact on young people, families, communities grow each day. I also want to let you know why we have this program. It's because, as I often say, it's because we believe that God has given us the privilege of leading you closer to Jesus Christ. Whatever your situation, whatever circumstance you may be in, whatever challenge you might be facing, we're here to remind you with a word of hope that all is not lost. There is still hope. Things will get better. You will get stronger if you hope in Christ. And the Lord's love is for you. Make no mistake about it. He knows you, He loves you, and He knows exactly what you're going through. And He's here to lift you up, to encourage you, and to instill in you something that you need today, a word of encouragement and inspiration. Well, you know, every child has heroes. When I was a boy playing football on the street with my neighbors in Moanalua, we would choose to be famous players, those players whom we heard about in the news and saw in the newspaper. And I would say, I'm going to be Blaine Geisen. He was the all-state quarterback for Kamehameha, who led the Warriors to two consecutive state football championships. And of course, I don't think I was the only young boy in that golden era of Hawaii football who wanted to be him. Blaine Geisen has been impacting the lives of people for years, far greater than the impact of explosive hits put on receivers and running backs among the best of the best in college and the NFL. He was highly decorated, being awarded the Stan Bates Top WAC Western Athletic Conference Scholar Athlete, received All-America, All-WAC, All-Coast honors. He graduated from the University of Hawaii with a major in pre-law, a minor in secondary education. He played professional football for NFL's Atlanta Falcons, for 5 years. Blaine is the Associate Director of Athletics at the Kamehameha Schools in Kapalama. He's married to Donna Lay and his children, Pili Aloha, Kapu, Kepa, and Kona. Blaine, welcome to our show.
Aloha, Danny. Thank you. It's a blessing to be here.
Tell us, Blaine, where did you grow up?
You know, I grew up right down here in the streets of Kalihi. I was born and raised here. My mom and dad basically are Farrington graduates, so we didn't move far from where they grew up. And so my youth was right here, right on the streets of Kalihi.
So a true Kalihi boy.
True Kalihi boy. Uh-huh.
Now, you're known in Hawaii so much for athletics, sports. How did you get involved in sports?
You know, it's real simple. My mom is a Wiedemeyer. So Herman and Charlie Wiedemeyer are my uncles. So it was real easy for my brothers and I, and not just my brothers and I, our entire family, you know, all the boys that grew up in the Wiedemeyer family, it was became an expectation that you participate in athletics. And my mom was quite an athlete herself at Farrington. My dad was also a football player. So growing up in those days, you know, life was real simple. You went to school, and after school, you played athletics, whether it was football, basketball, or baseball. And then there was one other sport, and that was street football late at night.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone was done with their homework and mom and dad and them were busy, you know, the guys would go outside on the street and play touch football, one telephone pole to the other. So, you know, it was just it was something that we knew that we would be involved in, and it was a big part of our life.
Now, you know, you've obviously been influenced by people and have had you are not only a mentor now, but you have been mentored by others, coached by others. Well, who influenced you most in your formative years?
You know, other than my mom and dad, you know, my dad was my first coach and you know, my best coach. But, you know, after that, it was my grandmother. My grandmother and I were really, really close. Mm. And she was just a God-loving woman. And she just had a spirit about her that just attracted people. And certainly, you know, in the old Hawaiian customs, you always took care of the kupunas, yeah? Mm-hmm. And my grandmother and I had a tremendous connection. And she was the woman that basically had a major influence in the path that I was going to be taking. You know, I didn't understand or know a lot, you know, where I was headed. All I knew was that I wanted to be as good a football player as I could be, or basketball player and baseball, as good a student as I could be. And that's what she would always preach to me. You know, be the best that you could be. And my dad did the same as well. You know, my dad used to have a little sign on the door that said, into the bathroom, 7 simple words. And those 7 simple words was, be the best that you can be. You know, my dad was a military guy. So, you know, he spent a number of years in the service. And his brothers, he had 4 brothers. They all were career military people. So it only seemed appropriate that I would grow up in a family where my dad was a very disciplinarian. And so those type of sayings like be the best that you could be was expected to, you know, in my household. And that's all they asked of us, was to be the very best. And my grandmother was, you know, the person that always prayed for that.
You know, what was it about your grandmother that made her so influential?
You know, I didn't know it at the time. you know, just out of respect, you know, we were always taught to respect and honor our grandparents, our kupuna. And so that's culturally, yeah, that's how the Hawaiian culture is for the most part. But it wasn't until I got older that I realized that the things that she did behind the scenes, you know, she was a prayer warrior. She was a person that was always there to serve. It wasn't about her. It was about her family, about her children, her grandchildren, and just a person that really wanted the best for others and was willing to serve and reach out to everyone. You know, that was something that she always did in Kalihi. She lived up in the valley in a small little home, and but everybody in the neighborhood knew her, and everyone who around her, you know, just, she was like a magnet. People would just be drawn to her, you know, and all she would do was just pray for them and give them godly advice.
I think nowadays we need that more than ever.
Oh, I tell you, I miss her. You know, we all need that. And as a growing Christian today, I mean, she was very influential in my Christian walk. I miss having that.
Now, you had a special sort of a ritual that you would have with your grandma as an athlete? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because my grandmother was a part of the Hawaiian Pentecostal Church right here in Kalihi. And as long as I've known her, she was always a strong Christian woman. But I was raised in the Catholic faith. My mother had that background. So we had gone through the whole ritual of being Catholics, going to catechism, being baptized and confirmed. But I struggled with that because I used to spend a lot of time with my grandmother. And she never said anything negative about the Catholic faith. She always said to trust and believe, and she would read scripture to me. It got to the point when I was in high school, I had a ritual of going to her prior to my games, whether it was football, basketball, or baseball. And because I had gone to Kamehameha schools, her house was just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's coming down the hill and turn up the street, and we're back in the valley. And so I made it a ritual to go visit with her. And all I really wanted was I went to her for selfish reasons, really.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted her blessings, you know. In most Hawaiian families, we always have a person that is basically our spiritual guide, or somebody in the family that's a very strong Christian, that if there is a need or there is trouble, we would go to that person, and that person would basically pray for us and give us guidance and direct us. And you would walk away there feeling blessed and knowing that you kind of surrendered everything to that individual.
Mm.
And my grandmother was that individual. So it was a ritual for me prior to every game to go visit with her and to sit with her. And I went there, like I said, for selfish reasons. I just wanted her blessings. Little did I know that she was planting seeds, because she would read scripture to me, and I would be as good a grandson as I could. I would sit there and be obedient and listen. I was hearing her, but I really wasn't listening. You know, I just wanted the blessings. And when I went on to college at the University of Hawaii, I continued that tradition. You know, and she was a person that I felt that there was a tremendous. I had to do that. You know, if I didn't do it, you know, for whatever reason, if I had missed the day, I made sure I called her before my game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we were in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I was busy with school and I couldn't get over to see her the night before we had left. So we got to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and called my grandmother, you know, just to make sure that I would speak with her and she could give me the word and then give me her blessing before I played. And I was one of those kind of guys at the time that, you know, if I didn't get it, I didn't play well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that was a tradition that I you know, made sure I always did. You know, and even when I got to Atlanta, when I was in Atlanta, I took it even further and made sure that I would call her every week.
You know, you talk about your journey, your ritual with grandma. I think about the richness of having that kind of time, and of course with such a stellar career, collegiate career, high school career. Then you went to a whole nother level when you went to Atlanta, as you said. But something happened when you got there. As a defensive back, you're not only laying out those devastating hits, you had a very special sense for the football. And there's that unique capacity that God gives to certain people to anticipate, and you definitely had that ability to anticipate and intercept many, many passes. When we come back, Blaine, I want you to share with us not only about Atlanta, not only about laying out some big hits on some of the big boys there that you played against. Let's talk about interceptions too. And I wonder today, as you're listening, if God is in the process of doing some kind of work in your life, even as you're listening to this show and what you're going through right now. Stay with us. We're going to be right back, because I believe it's going to really apply to you too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. It's so good to have you with us today. You're listening to a special rebroadcast program in the series entitled They Found the Answer, sponsored by Quilopo Painting Incorporated, presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about our show, along with other resources for living the good life, and to find out how to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and even to hear the rest, maybe you're just joining into the show right now and want to get the whole thing, you can get it at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more with our special guest, Blaine Geisen. You know, Blaine, before our break, we're talking about the influence of your grandmother, of course, your dad and your mom, and the rich heritage of sports, you're part of the Wiedemeyer line, and then how things developed in your athletic career, and then you know anybody in athletics must face some challenges at some points, but what life lessons have you learned from playing football at the highest level in the NFL?
You know, I really believe that My dad really set the foundation, you know, for the character that that I have today. You know, I remember he always told me that don't ever be afraid to work hard. You know, good hard work is always going to reward you. And you know, that was one of the things that that really pushed me through my high school and my college years, because if you've ever played high school, if you ever played football, period, you know, there's nothing easy about it. I mean, it's tough, you know, and it's just like life. You know, Dick Tomey used to come in and used to give his preseason speeches to our football team. And one of the things he said, he would reiterate basically what my dad would tell us, that, you know, that there's nothing easy about life. You know, you got to work at it. It's hard. And if you play the game of football like we've played and like I've played, then you know that there's nothing easy about it as well. There's a lot of work that's involved in it. There's a lot of sacrifices that need to be made. There's a risk of getting injured, you know, and bouncing back and playing and continuing to work hard. And, you know, if you want to be good at it, you've really got to go ahead and dedicate and commit yourself to that. So I learned that from the game, you know, and the game taught me that. The game taught me that with anything, you've got to work and give it your utmost best. And as long as you're giving your best, then good things are going to happen. And I've been real blessed and fortunate that over the years of playing football at the high school and the collegiate level, as you alluded to earlier, that, you know, I was acclaimed for a lot of and able to accomplish a lot of things that a lot of people dream about. But even for me, you know, winning those awards, it was nice, but it wasn't something that, you know, I held on to. You know, I was always looking forward. I was one of those type of people that I never looked behind. You know, whatever mm-hmm. happened in the past was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was nice to go ahead and accomplish those things. But, you know, I'm more interested in what God has in store for me for tomorrow. You know, so I keep moving forward. You know, my foot's always on the gas pedal.
Yeah.
You know, and as much as I can, I hate to be in reverse.
Now, how has it helped you face challenges?
It's, you know, when I look at the life that I've had up until this point, you know, a lot of the challenges that I had, it was just a matter of just persevering, you know, and just, you know, taking a stand and just being constant with it. You know, of course, you know, the only way you're going to really understand and accept winning is you're going to have to be able to fall and lose sometimes, you know, but you never give into that. You never give up. You look at, you take a failure, you take a loss and you just find ways to improve and get better. You know, and the game taught me that, you know, and that same attitude is what I have today. You know, there are certain things that may not go right for me. I may fall short, but I know that there's something out there, you know, that, and there's an answer out there to continue to push forward. And I know if I continue to push, you know, it's going to happen. You know, Joel Osteen in one of his books illustrates a story about walking, climbing a mountain in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, and he talks about how excruciating it was, and he got to the point where, you know, he got to a point in the hike, a couple hours into the hike, where, you know, he felt like just quitting and turning back. You know, his legs were cramping, his body was cramping, his will was being tested, and he took a break. And during that water break that he had taken, another hiker was coming down from that mountain, and he had his walking stick, and as he walked by Joel Osteen, he kind of looked at him and he said, "Hey, you're closer than you think." With those words, Joe continued on. About a couple of minutes later, he reached the top of that mountain.
Wow.
And was able to accomplish that goal. So, you know, I look at it that way. When I see, you know, little obstacles like that, I always keep telling myself that, you know, I'm closer than I think. Just keep pushing through.
That's a word for me. It's a word for our audience today. That's a word for you. You're closer than you think. You know, Blaine, so many times some people, they give in and they lose it and let things go, and they don't realize how close they were. And what a big miss that is. And I think today we are being sent by the Lord into your car, into your room, into your office, the very place that you are right now, to remind you that you're closer than you think. I think this whole aspect of perseverance is stay at it. It just might be a couple of minutes away, might be a couple of days away, a couple of years away, but just stay at it. Now, Blaine, you know, you're well-versed in facing these trials. It's part of the life of an athlete. It's part of life. Tell us about how you got to Atlanta. What happened? How did you get there?
Well, you know, it was my senior year at the University of Hawaii, and I had got done playing in the Hula Bowl, where I was very fortunate to play with such tremendous players like Ronnie Lott, Kenny Easley, Mike Singletary, George Rogers, who was the Heisman Trophy winner at the time, and just a bunch of outstanding athletes. And many of them are in the Hall of Fame today. And it was then that I realized that here's a kid, local boy, that's playing with all these big stars. And through that and through the season that I had my senior year at the University of Hawaii, I had a pretty good season. And a lot of the NFL scouts felt the same way, too. And the opportunity to play in the NFL all of a sudden became more of a reality. And I didn't get drafted. I had gone to the combine and did the best that I could. But for some reason or another, God had his way, and I wasn't drafted. But as soon as the draft was over, I had about 8 or 9 teams that immediately called me. My phone was ringing off the hook at home, and these teams were calling and wanted to sign me onto a full free agent contract. And, you know, teams like Dallas and teams like San Francisco and Philadelphia. But Atlanta was a team that for some reason or another just really stuck out. I mean, it was picture clear to me that Atlanta, Georgia, was the place I needed to go. And, when I talked to Eddie LeBaron, who was the general manager at the time, he had spoken to me prior to the draft and during the draft. And he told me that, hey, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to draft you. We're going to sign you right after that. This is what we're going to give you. So when he called me, without any hesitation, I agreed to it and just jumped on the plane and went to Atlanta. You know, I went there. I signed the contract to play in the NFL, and I went there to play football. Little did I know that I was going to Atlanta, Georgia, for more than just football. You know, when I got there, I found out that the Atlanta Falcon football organization was the biggest organization with the FCA. The number of players that played on that Falcon team were Christians that were members of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Wow.
And there was something different about them. I realized, you know, as soon as I got there, looking at guys like Steve Bartkowski, in fact, June Jones, who played here at the university and coached here, he was the only so-called local guy that I had there, and really took me under his wing. June and Steve Bartkowski, who was, again, an all-pro quarterback and so forth, and Billy White Shoes Johnson and Alfred Jenkins and this guy Bobby Glazebrook, just a full-on bunch of really good guys. And when I got there, the first thing they did was they welcomed me. Of course, you go through all the rookie rituals and so forth. But for some reason or another, you know, God had his hand upon me, and I was excluded from all of that. But these guys, they would meet during training camp, big grown men that really had a passion and a love for Christ. And they would have Bible studies. They'd have Bible studies in the evening, and they'd have early morning devotions before the practices. And they invited me to them. And at first, I was hesitant, you know, because I felt that I was there to just really earn a job, you know, and I wanted to put all my energy and my focus into that and not be distracted by that. But eventually, you know, it began to grow on me. I began to see that these guys and, you know, playing in the NFL and trying to make a football team over there, I mean, it is such a tough, tough job. The number of players that are fighting to earn a spot on that roster is just absolutely amazing. You know, today there's 53 players on the NFL roster. Back in my days, I hate to date myself, you know, but back in my days, it was only 35. You know, today they can only bring in 80, maybe 85 players into camp. You know, back then we went into camp and we had 48 defensive backs trying out for 7 positions, just 7. And 48 guys out there on that field fighting for one position, or 7 positions in the secondary.
48 world-class DBs trying to make...
It was amazing.
One of seven, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I felt like the little guy on the block because, you know, you got these guys from Georgia Tech, Nebraska, Boston, Miami, Florida State, you know, Florida, you know, all these big-name colleges. Mm-hmm. So at first I felt kind of out of place, you know. But once you get on the football field, it doesn't matter where you come from, you know. It's what you do out there in the field. And fortunately enough, my ability spoke for itself, and I was able to go ahead and make that team. But, you know, after a while, you know, we started playing, you know, I tell people that a lot of people say, why Atlanta? You know, of all the teams you had to choose from, why Atlanta? Well, today, you know, when I go around and I speak to people, I tell people that, you know, God took a kid from the streets of Kalihi, flew him across the country to Atlanta, Georgia, not just to play football in the NFL, really to be intercepted by Christ, because that's what happened.
You know, when we come back, Blaine is going to share with us what that all meant, how it all happened, to be intercepted by Christ all the way in Atlanta. A boy from Kalihi in Atlanta, intercepted by Christ. Is Christ doing something in your heart today? Maybe he's doing an interception in your life too. Stay with us. We're going to be back with more from Blaine Gison.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinena Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. It's good you're with us today. You know, a rare moment is when you can sit with an accomplished person and hear them share things that most people would never know. This is one of those times. It's a special rebroadcast, They Found the Answer, a series sponsored by Quilopo Painting Incorporated, presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to learn more about our show and especially how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want that, click the Get to Know Jesus tab to find out more. Now, let's take in more of The Good Life with Blaine Gison. Before our break, we're talking about interceptions. And an interception was about to take place all the way in Atlanta, Georgia. Blaine, tell us about it.
Well, you know, as I said earlier, you know, God didn't take me to Atlanta just to play football, but he sent me to Atlanta to be intercepted by Christ. You know, it was the fourth game of my rookie year. We had gone down to New Orleans to play against the Saints, and they were in our conference. And at the time, Bob Phillips was the head coach. He was a famous coach out of Houston. Mm-hmm. And the quarterback at the time was Kenny Stabler, famous all-pro quarterback,
the great
Hall of Famer.
Kenny Stabler.
You know, and he was over in Houston, and then he ended up going over to the Saints along with Bum Phillips. And there's one other person that went over with him, and that was Earl Campbell, one of the greatest running backs ever. Mm-hmm. So we were down there in Atlanta, I mean, in New Orleans, playing our game. And I just had, as a rookie, I had the best game of my life. You know, I intercepted Kenny Stabler. I had broken up a pass to cause another interception. I had about 7 or 8 tackles, a couple of them on Earl Campbell. And, you know, just had an outstanding game, not to be boastful about that. But when the game was all over, you know, like any kid's dream, you always want to get the game ball. You know, the coaches in football always have it's a ritual where at the end of the game, you know, they present the game ball to the outstanding player. And in the locker room, Lehman Bennett, who was our head coach, had presented the game ball to me and says, you know, Blaine Geisen, you're the player of the game, defensive player of the game. And that was just a tremendous thrill as a rookie. And, mm-hmm. you know, to know that, you know, I arrived, you know, as a player, right. I'm here.
Right.
And so it was just exciting. Well, you know, we got on the airplane and we have a charter flight. So I get on the airplane and I was sitting with Bobby Glazebrook, who was a veteran safety. We only had 3 safeties on our team at the time, and I was a 3rd safety, and he was a starting safety. But he was a great friend, a great Christian brother, a mentor, and so forth. And, you know, he came up, we were sitting down, and we were talking about the game. And then finally, he posed a question to me that changed my life. You know, we were about 33,000 feet above the ground in an airplane heading back to Atlanta, Georgia. And he looked at me and said, you know, you had a great game and all of this, and I know you feel good about that, but I need to ask you a question. You know, you've been coming to our Bible studies and, you know, it seems like you've been enjoying it. I said, yeah, I have. I'm growing. And he says, okay, well, I'm going to ask you a question. And he posed this question to me. He says, Blaine, if you were to die today, right now, do you know whether you'd go to heaven or to hell? Do you really know? You know, for a guy that that always seemed to find the right answers, I didn't have an answer. I mean, I just became quiet. You know, and the rest of the flight home, I did not say a word because it was that question was in my mind and it bothered me because I really, truly couldn't answer it. And I didn't know why. And he saw that and he looked at me and says, I want to pray for you. You know, and he prayed for me and he says, you'll find it. If you keep looking, you'll find it. And it bothered me. You know, I had gone back home. We arrived in Atlanta, went back to my condominium and, you know, couldn't sleep, went to practice the next day. And it was in the back and in the forefront of my brain, in my mind, and it was just right there because I couldn't find the answer. And so I started to go ahead and, you know, well, you know, if this is a Christian question,
yeah,
then the answer is going to be in the Bible. You know, and I remember my grandmother always said, if there's anything that you need or anything that you need to know, it's in the Bible. Hmm. You just pick up the Bible and you read it. You'll find the answer there. And I remember my grandmother telling me that. So I grabbed my Bible and I started reading. About 4 days later, I got home from practice, and I wasn't hungry. I just kind of felt lost. I grabbed the Bible, started reading, and then it hit me. I came across the scripture. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. When I read that scripture, I found the answer. And there was a tremendous joy that just overcame my entire body, my entire soul. Mm. That night I dropped to my knees, tears in my eyes, and just in my tiny little condo, just myself and God, and gave my life to Christ. The next morning I had gotten up to go to practice, and we had weightlifting duties at 6 o'clock. I walked into the locker room at about 5:45. I opened up the door, and as I walked in, Bobby Glazebrook was the first person I saw. And as soon as he saw me and I started walking towards him, he says, you found the answer.
Mm.
You know, and I said, what do you mean? He said, you found the answer. It's all over your face. And I can see it. And I said, yeah, I did. He said, you know, Bobby, if I was to die today, ask me that question. Ask me the question. And he asked me, he said, I'll ask you that question. He said, if you were to die today, you know whether you go to heaven or hell? I'd go to heaven. He says, how do you know? I said, because Jesus is the way. He said in his word that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through him. And he hugged me, and that was the beginning of my journey. God, I was intercepted by Christ that night. And my life has changed ever since, never been the same.
You know, it came down to a moment. Somebody asked you a question.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a divine encounter. It could be 33,000 miles in the sky after the hype and the elation of receiving the game ball your rookie year against the New Orleans Saints and a historic Hall of Fame players that you're hitting and intercepting. But a divine moment. And you know, God has a way of doing that. You know, it's sometimes it's in those innocuous places, you know, just mm-hmm. on an airplane, completely unexpected. And I'm wondering today, Blaine, if, you know, our listeners, our friends, our community of listeners that are listening right now, right in their situation, the Lord is speaking to them and saying, have you made a decision? Have you found the answer? The answer to the deepest questions of life. And you know, sometimes we're so cerebral. Mm-hmm. We become, you know, we think so much. But this is a matter of the heart. And you gave your heart to Christ. A few days later, just there in your condo, you and God. And I wonder if today, as you're listening, that the Lord, as you hear Him, you can hear Him calling you. Would you open your heart to Him? Would you be honest in the very depths of your own heart? Say, that's the answer too for me. Jesus Christ loves me. He died on the cross for me. Shed His blood. He rose again on the third day for me. All my sins can be forgiven. All my wrongs made right. I just want to surrender and open my heart to Jesus. If that's you, I would encourage you to do that. To do that. And you know, it was in a quiet place when Blaine did it. And he told his friend Bobby Glazebrook the next day, you make a decision, you go and between you and God, and you go and you tell a friend, tell a family member, tell your grandma, your grandpa, your dad, your mom, your uncle, your auntie, your brother, your sister, tell your friend, tell somebody. Because God is at work in your life. When we come back, we're going to hear more. Blaine is going to tell us a little bit about family life. You know, he talked about how that moment in Atlanta, Georgia, changed him from that point on. His life has continued to grow. He's a man who puts his foot on the gas pedal. He wants to move forward. He's been moving forward with the Lord, and the Lord with him. Just like you, you can move forward with the Lord and the Lord with you. Stay with us. We're going to be back with more from Blaine Geisen.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700-998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. online. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. This is a special time to have you with us. You know, it isn't always the case when you can be a part of something that can literally change your life and improve the quality of your life and the life of someone else. Well, this is a special rebroadcast sponsored by Quilopo Painting Incorporated, presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show in a series entitled They Found the Answer. Our special guest today in this rebroadcast is Blaine Geisen. Before our break, Blaine was sharing about the interception that took place in his life. And it means so much more for anyone who knows the name Blaine Geisen, because Blaine has been a heroic figure, really, in the realm of football here in the state of Hawaii, achieving the highest levels of recognition and status as an athlete. And yet, he's intercepted so many balls all throughout his career, and he describes how Christ intercepted his life right there in Atlanta, Georgia, while he was playing for the Atlanta Falcons. And through a time, through an experience, you know, some people, they wonder, do people all come to know Christ at times when they're at their very lowest? I've been asked that question before. Perhaps you have. Perhaps you've wondered about it. Well, not the case with Blaine. He had the greatest game of his rookie year. I mean, he had a chance to tackle the great Earl Campbell. He intercepted a pass from Kenny Stabler. He was presented with the game ball. And yet at that night, flying back on the airplane, he was posed with a question that literally changed his life. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to hear the rest of the show, maybe you're just tuning in right now and you're thinking, hey, how can I get the rest of it? I've missed thus far, but I like what I'm hearing. Well, all you need to do is go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can listen to the show in its entirety. Blaine Geisen, he's a special friend, a friend to many, a mentor to many, someone who people in the islands and beyond deeply respect and admire. And if you're asking, how can I have a relationship with Jesus, the kind that Blaine talks about, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and go ahead and just click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We have more resources too. They're at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, here's more with Blaine Geisen. Blaine, tell me a little bit of, you know, as your life has changed from that moment there in your condo in Atlanta. Now you're married, you have a family. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I've been really blessed. I married my high school sweetheart, Donnelly, and she's we were together since high school, and she stuck with me through thick and through thin. Mm-hmm. And she's been a tremendous partner and a tremendous friend and the love of my life. And she's very actively involved in our church. We are part of the New Hope Christian Fellowship. We basically fellowship down at Sand Island with Pastor Dom, mm-hmm. Kaaihui. But my wife has been involved in the performing arts ministry.
Yes,
she's basically in charge of the entire performing arts program, which is absolutely a tremendous tremendous responsibility, but mm-hmm. one that she loves and she serves her very well. We have four children. My oldest is my daughter, Pili Aloha. She was the former Miss Hawaii 2006. Mm-hmm. She currently works for the mayor's office with the Department of Transportation. She used to dance and was working with Tihati Productions as well, but got to the point where she had enough of that, and God was calling her to move on. And so she's moved on and now just works with the mayor's office. My oldest son, Kapulani, he graduated from Kamehameha, then went on to Chapman University, played football and ran track there, graduated with his MBA, spent some time over in Brazil, and came home, and now resides in San Diego and works there with the San Diego Union San Diego Bank up there. My third son, and probably the more popular one, Kepa, just got done his college career, graduated this past May at University of Utah, finished his college career there, and had an outstanding college career at the University of Utah. And he's home now. He has been home for a couple of weeks now. He had the opportunity to go to the 49ers and then the Atlanta Falcons, take it back, and for their camp and stuff. He didn't sign a contract yet, but they've been in touch with him and told him to hold on, to stay in shape, because, you know, things could happen. And so he's going to go ahead and, you know, kind of keep training and see what happens, what comes of that. If it's God's will, then great. If not, then he's going to go back and get his MBA and move on. You know, and can keep that foot on the gas pedal and keep moving forward. And then we have our little one, our youngest one, Kona. He's currently a sophomore at the Kamehameha Schools, and so he's God has really blessed us with four wonderful kids. You know, so we're really been happy with them.
Tell us about your you mentioned New Hope. What kind of ministries have you been involved with there? I know Donna Lay is involved with the Creative Arts Ministry. How has God used you there?
You know, it's so funny because, you know, as an athlete, you're always looking for challenges, you know, and you're always looking to keep yourself in shape and to stay active. And 11 years ago, I was challenged by a good friend, Charlie Thurston, to come and paddle. And we're really good friends, but he challenged me to come and paddle. And I never paddled before. I was not a water person, you know, growing up. I was a land creature. I was the guy that, you know, put the cleats on, go on the field, tie up the laces, go on the basketball court, you know, grab the baseball bat, swing the bat, and, you know, just always a land creature. My two older brothers were the surfers. They were the guys that, as soon as the surf was up, they'd cut school to go surfing. Yeah, Mom, if you're hearing that, I'm sorry, but that's what happened. But they would do that. They just loved the water. My youngest brother, Gary, is a tremendous diver, fisherman, and surfer, and you know, so they used to love that. And I was far from being a water creature. But after I got done, like I said, 11 years ago, Charlie Thurston, you know, posed a challenge to me and asked me to come and paddle. And I said, well, let me give it a try. So I went out there and gave it a try and did my first Molokai crossing. And after that, I was asked to go ahead and be a part of that ministry. And today, Charlie Thurston and myself oversee New Hope's Canoe Paddling Ministry. And we've been running this club for the past 11 years.
Tell us a story about that ministry. I mean, did you guys start off with a bang, and did you guys start off at the top? I mean, because you were talking about, what, Lanikai, Outrigger. I mean, these are epic canoe paddling strongholds in the
community.
State.
They certainly are. And I tell you what, this is how it really started. 11 years ago, there were a couple guys, a handful of New Hope Christian Fellowship members, that had this idea of paddling across the Molokai Channel as New Hope Canoe Club. And there was maybe about five or six of them. It was 2 weeks before the Molokai Channel. Well, 2 weeks they had to get ready to go ahead and do that. They found three other people from a club down in Kailua, Kaioni Canoe Club, to go ahead and go paddle the channel. And they paddled the channel under the banner of New Hope, because six of those guys that were in that boat were from the church. And that's how the New Hope Christian Fellowship Canoe Paddling Ministry was established. And from there, we got accepted into OCRA as a member, a full-time member. And we've been pushing the gas pedal ever since. And it's been amazing, because when we first got into the OCRA,
OCRA stand for?
OCRA stands for the Oahu Canoe... Oahu Hawaiian Canoe Racing Association.
Okay.
And so we became members of OCRA, and our first couple years, you know, in OCRA, we were the doormats. you know, of the association. And people used to tease New Hope and say, New Hope, no hope, you know, and we would be finishing at the back of the pack. But, you know, we stand strong on our mission statement. And our mission statement basically is to reach the world with Aloha, paddling his canoe, you know, and that's basically what it is. We use the art and the sport, the culture sport of canoe paddling, you know, as a ministry to touch the world with Aloha.
That's the connecting point.
That's the connecting point. And, you know, we've been in existence. This is our 11th season as a ministry. We've been to New York. Hmm. We paddled the Liberty Race up there. Our people have gone up there. And it's not just paddling the race, but it's also putting on a ministry, praise and worship, dance, the whole nine yards.
Cool.
And we were able to go ahead and touch lives. You know, which basically what we try to do here in our ministry here. We've had a number of people that have come to New Hope and been a part of New Hope for a number of years. And again, it's the winning is important, yes, but it's more the ministry. You know, it's more using it as a vehicle to touch lives.
How have you seen lives touched through that? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, we've actually had people that actually gave their lives to Christ. We've had people, and if I can go ahead and say that, people that basically their marriages were saved through our ministry. Their lives were saved through our ministry. Our ministry has given them direction. They've come to paddle, and they know that we've given them a purpose. We do a number of outreaches with our canoe club. It's not just about going down there every Saturday and paddling, you know, and paddling in the races. It's about reaching out to the community. We have the Spirit of Aloha, which we're very much a part of. We have the Ash Scattering Ministry within our canoe club, where members of our church or members throughout the state will call us to use our canoes to assist in having services for Ash Scattering. We help out with the high schools and even the middle schools. We have schools, classes from Punahou School, Kamehameha, even like right down here in Farrington, that will come down and spend the day, and we'll teach them the art of canoe paddling and also minister to them. So we do a lot of outreaches as well. It's not just about paddling, you know, out there and representing God in the okra. It's about being able to share the word.
This has been a previously recorded show featuring Blaine Geisen in a special series, They Found the Answer, sponsored by Quilopo Painting Incorporated, presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about our show and how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. We've got a list of churches and partners who can help meet your needs. Here's a scripture for today. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Blaine Geisen. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.